A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went towards the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He went down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. This is the word of the Lord. Today we are celebrating Easter. The church invites us to rejoice and sing Alleluia. Jesus is alive. For the Christian faithful, Easter is the most important feast. It is the biggest feast, because it gives us a sure and true foundation for our faith in Jesus Christ. In his first letter to the Corinthians, St. Paul writes, "If Christ has not been raised, your faith is vain. You are still in your sins." The angel of the Lord said to Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, who went to the tomb of the dead Christ, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are seeking Jesus the crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has been raised from the dead, and he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." Many people were killed on a cross. Not one rose again as Jesus did. We know this is true because Christ's disciples saw him alive after his death, spoke to him and touched him. They did not find it easy to believe. And when they were sure that Jesus is alive, they were willing to die for him. Their difficulty to believe in the resurrection is a safe foundation for our faith. Then in the joy of Easter, let us look at the past and commemorate the resurrection of Jesus, our Lord. Let us sing Alleluia along with the angels who on Christmas night announced to the shepherds the birth of baby Jesus and the beginning of the mystery of the Incarnation, and who on Easter night remained in silent awe at the resurrection of their and our Lord. They now eternally sing the Alleluia. The Son of God became human and came to live like us humans so as to teach us how to make good use of our humanity. He accepted to die on the cross, for the things he lived for were worth dying for. He accepted the killing by human hands, for he really believed that God had the power to lead him on into the fullness of life. We do not believe in a dead Lord. We believe in a living Christ. Writing to the Roman community, St. Paul says, "We know that Christ, raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has power over him." Christ's resurrection completes our redemption and shows us our way forward. Indeed, God raised the Lord and will also raise us by his power. So again, let us rejoice and sing Alleluia on earth, for we will be singing it forever in the fullness of life with all the angels and saints. St. Paul assures us, "The one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and place us with you in his presence." Easter joy, then, does not feed itself on a memory of the past. It is the joy of those who look forward with faith and hope to their future. St. Paul teaches us that we were indeed buried with him through baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might live in newness of life. For just as in Adam all die, so too in Christ all shall be brought to life. Note that Paul said that in Christ all shall be brought to life. He did not say that all shall be brought back to life. Indeed, resurrection in Christ is not about coming back to earth, to the life we know. Ours will not be a resurrection like that of Lazarus. This man was brought back to life, but he had to suffer again all that life on earth brings with it. We might ask, what would resurrection be like if it's not a coming back home on earth? We cannot really give any answer except that which Paul gave when writing to the Corinthians. He said, "We speak God's wisdom, mysterious, hidden, which God predetermined before the ages for our glory, as it is written, what eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and what has not entered the human heart, what God has prepared for those who love Him." Some hints are given to us in the Gospel stories about Christ's apparitions after He had risen from the dead. He had a true human body, the same in which He was crucified. Jesus told His disciples, "Why are you troubled? And why do questions arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, because a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you can see I have." But it was a glorified body, for He could pass through closed doors. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When He had said this, He showed them His hands and His side. Sure, we would like to know how we would be when resurrected. However, this should not preoccupy us, for Christ Himself will prepare this glory for us. He told His disciples and all those who are baptized in Christ, "In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If there were not, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you also may be." If Christ is preparing a place for us in His Father's house, and if He will come back again to take us with Him, what is expected of us? What is our part in this? We are expected to live like decent and intelligent human beings. We are expected to do every day our daily course to the best of our ability. And when we make mistakes or sin, we are encouraged to admit our faults and seek God's forgiveness and that of those who we might have offended, and our forgiveness too, for there are those who do not forgive themselves their faults. It is all written in the Our Father prayer Jesus taught His disciples and us. Remember, God created us as human beings, and He does not expect us to be gods. Humbleness, truthfulness, solidarity, carefulness, perseverance, these and other virtues are building blocks with which to build a human life that is worth living, for it gives us joy on earth and an everlasting glory with Christ, our risen Lord. Remember also that prayer, lots of prayer, is the glue that will keep these building blocks together for all our life.